listener.
KickPod acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yulukut Wulin clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to our elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Welcome to the KickPod, your D&M on the stuff that matters,
but also the stuff that doesn't. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Are you like the most excited for this kick update than we've ever had?
Yes, a kick update before? It is. Today's like Christmas. It's my Christmas. It's kick Christmas because
Kick Run Club has kicked off today. So it starts today officially. We've teamed up with New Balance again to help you run your way. So over the next 8 weeks, you can run towards your goal of 3, 5, 10, or 21 kilometers by following our guided run programs, guided by yours truly, Lawsy. And you can gradually build your running confidence together. So Kick Run Club is something that we run a couple of times a year. Our run programs are always available to you in the app whenever you want. But sometimes we feel like doing it together is the not just sometimes, actually, we know that you guys enjoy doing it together and starting together, no matter what your goal distance is. All of the programs go for 8 weeks, but we like to kick them off together and just be motivated by doing it together.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're looking for some motivation, come and join us. They're 3 runs a week and it goes for 8 weeks, as Steph said. They're all audio guided. There is a balance of the cues of, you know, walking and when to walk, when to run, but then also overcoming those limiting beliefs within your mindset to be able to believe by the end of it that you are a runner. Now, on top of starting the Kick Run Club today,
this is really exciting,
we've got a special thing that we're doing for the first time ever. Every Saturday throughout the challenge, you can actually join our Kick Run Club meetups in real life.
What?
So the Kick Run Club is virtual. It is a virtual thing. But if you are in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, Auckland, or London, led by our amazing community members.
Shout out to everyone who put their hand up. Thank you very much.
So exciting. You can run with them. And no matter where you're at on your running journey, it's all about having fun, building connection, overcoming self-doubt, supporting each other, and then grabbing a coffee together. And we know too, a lot of run clubs, like they're amazing, but they can be really intimidating. Yeah. And so what's really important about the Kick Run Club in real life on Saturdays is that you come as you are. You don't need to be fit to go. You don't need to run really fast to be able to go there. You come as you are on your running journey. If you want to, if you want to come, you have to register. And the link to register will be in the show notes. So it's kickapp.com/kickrunfluid/meetups. So that's exciting. Congrats on everyone who is committing to their running journey starting today. It's not too late to start and join if you haven't so far. Come and join us for the Kick Run Club launching today. Okay, now before we get into today's podcast, we are going into a very, very big topic today.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited to talk to you about on the podcast. We have never spoken about it on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. Before that, I just have to tell you a story.
Okay.
Now, this hasn't happened to me for a very long time. I reckon 10 years.
Did you weigh yourself?
What? No, I weighed myself like two weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, you did that 2 weeks ago.
10 years. No way.
Did you have to poo in a park?
No. Why does your brain go there? No. You wait until I tell you what happened and you'll be like, shit.
Okay.
I was out getting, just so you know, it's nothing to do with digestion, okay? Even though that's what you thought all it would be. So I was getting a coffee at our local coffee shop, waiting for the coffee, and I had a bit of a weird interaction with someone in the coffee shop. Like,
weird.
They were like, hi, and I was like, hi, and then like, I was just like, oh, okay, well, but they were talking to someone in the shop that I know, so it was just this awkward like,
oh, yeah, okay.
Anyway, then I went to get my rice paper rolls because what I do is I order my rice paper rolls, I go and get my coffee takes shorter time, and then I go pick up my rice paper rolls. Yeah. So, and I was like, you know what, it's really nice outside. I also eat really fast. I know I need to eat more mindfully, but I can literally eat them in 2 minutes. So
before
I was like, I'm
just
going
to
sit and eat them in the sun.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Anyway, so I was sitting down, had a big mouthful of rice paper roll, and then all of a sudden this guy reapproaches me from the coffee shop. And he was like, hey, I just have to ask, are you single?
Oh my God, I love it.
It's It made my day. It made my day. And I was like, oh, I don't know why I apologized, but I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm married.
Sorry to disappoint.
Thank you. And he was like, oh, I thought that would be the case. I just had to ask. And I was like, you know what? Honestly, I don't even know if 10 years ago it happened. I'm just saying 10 years because maybe it did. But no, I don't think anyone's ever come up to me and said, do you want to go on a date before in public? And it just made me think, like, it made my day. Yeah, and it wasn't rude. It wasn't in a way of like, you want to hook up? Yeah. Like, I'll be like, please leave me alone. Yeah. It wasn't in the gym where I'm also like, please leave me alone. Yeah. Don't talk to me. Yeah, it was just, I was just sitting there like,
yeah.
And it was just, it made my day.
That's
and
nice.
Not that I need validation, you know, that someone wanted to go out with me, but I was just like, so it just made me think if anyone listening, if you see someone in the street, because I feel like now on dating apps.
It's kind of like a compliment.
All of my friends that I speak to that are on dating apps, they all say what they hate about dating apps is now people will, we've done a whole segment on dating apps, how Australian men are on the dating apps a little bit. But what my friends feel like is that they are kind of looking for a certain, because there's so much choice on a dating app. It's not like in real life where, you know, you meet people, you have the connection, and then you find out like what they do and like what their interests are and whatever.
It doesn't allow for that initial
it doesn't.
Feeling.
No. The dating app, really, you see what people look like and then you often will see what their job is.
Yep.
And like, it's like people, I've spoken to so many people that they feel like, oh, I don't have a really good job and I feel like
but
it's
I'm
like,
amazing person.
Exactly. Yeah. It's impacting my, because people are just swiping past me. And that's, that fucking sucks.
Yeah,
seriously.
It really
it's
does.
Because that's not why you connect with someone, like just on the way that they look and what their job is. It's just, it's crazy. Anyway, so it just made me think that if you, because we're out of routine of asking, and I can't ask anyone out on a date because I think Dobbs would be like, Laura.
I think so too.
But if you want, like, just don't hold back and do it in a nice way. Don't like be like a weirdo about it. But it could make someone, and even if they say no, my day was made.
Yeah.
I was like, what a lovely man.
That's lovely, Laura.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
And are you now laughing that you thought it was because I weed my pants or pooed in a park?
Definitely. And especially when you went to talking about coffee, I was like, I still am thinking about my digestive system.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my, that was just ask. Do the, it may not do the thing, but ask someone out.
And I love that it's in the
just
day
do it.
In that kind of,
cause yeah, He wasn't drunk.
And I think that that's the thing though, is like the last time that I have been either approached and nothing has been said, or I've been approached and asked out, it's always been at night at a nightclub, and they're always a bit like seedy and a bit like, okay. And then you just watch them go over to the next person and you're like, wow, this person's just on the prowl. Tonight.
I agree.
Yeah.
So if someone comes, let's give some rules around this. Well, not rules. Actually, I'm going to tell you something.
I have a big one.
Okay, go.
If someone is giving you eye contact, right?
Yeah.
This one's a pet peeve of mine.
Okay.
And I'm going to say my experience. So in my experience, it's guys at nightclubs.
Yeah.
You might catch eye contact with them because they're staring at you or something like that. And then you give them a very obvious like, you like quickly look away or like, no, you know, but they'll still keep looking and keep getting closer and then like still try their luck. I feel like unless someone looks back at you in the eyes and gives a little grin or looks again, maybe don't need to approach them.
Yeah, don't stare them down the whole
don't
night.
Don't stare them down.
Or instead of staring them down, just go over and say like, hey, would you, but in nightclub, I feel like
it's different. The environment
and
matters.
Don't go over to them. Don't go over, especially, and I know we're just speaking about like men approaching women here, but I do feel like this, I don't know many women that do this. I feel like this is very common in speaking to my friendship group and people.
Yeah.
Other women that I know that this is, happens to women.
I agree.
More often, I would say.
But from
again,
my experience.
Not on the, what's the word when I don't want to say it's on the record?
Well.
Unconfirmed. It's unconfirmed if that is a true statistic, but from just experience, I think it is. So if a guy comes over to you and is like, sometimes if they buy you a drink, like, okay, cool. But then they think
but then they
that they own
something.
You.
Yeah.
They expect for you to give them 20 minutes of your time to talk to them.
No.
Don't buy someone a drink if you're going to put expectations on them. Also, don't come over, don't say anything and put your fucking hand on a female's bum.
Yeah.
Or her body.
Or hip,
anywhere.
Or anything.
No.
Yeah.
What
I'm
talking about is in the daylight, in the middle of the day when there's no alcohol involved, there's no weird eye vision, there's no touching, just go and give someone a compliment. And and ask them out if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, go and say, hey, would you want to go on a date?
Yeah.
I had to ask. Maybe if you don't want to do that, but just not in nightclubs. You're right. Nightclubs make it seedy. I'm talking about old school, middle of the day, non-creepy vibes here.
Yeah. Love it.
One, two, three.
Okay, guys. This topic is something that has come up a few times from a few community members and have asked us to discuss our own thoughts on Botox and anti-aging.
Hi, I'm an Australian living in the UK for 10 years now and I'm 36 and I've just noticed that a lot of my friends in Australia have had Botox and the pressure I feel because I can see that I look like I've aged and no one else seems to have aged or they don't look like they've aged. And I just was wondering, we talk a lot about body confidence and body image, but we never talk about the pressure not to age. So I think it would be a good thing to discuss on the podcast.
I love this.
So do I.
Yeah. And I'm so glad we're talking about it, Laws, because I think it's really important because it is becoming more and more, I suppose, normal to do or expected to do. And we want to talk about it because the pressure in general from society to look a certain way or to try and look our best, and our best is for some reason our smallest and youngest self, I think it just speaks to that. And we speak so much about body confidence and accepting yourself. And so it just makes sense to talk to aging. And I suppose I want to preface before we get into the conversation and our thoughts, we are not against anyone doing whatever they want to their body. That is everyone's prerogative to do what they want, whatever makes them feel good, 100%. Like I have so many friends who get work done and I have no judgment whatsoever on any of them.
And when you say work done today, we're talking about Botox and filler.
Yes, yes. And I just wanted to preface that because I think I've come on a bit of a journey myself with this stuff. And my thoughts lately have been different to what they have been in the past for my own personal preference of what I would like to do. And I think what it kind of comes down to is this fear of aging and removing any signs of it. Like it's not, for me, it's not even just wrinkles or lines or whatever. It's like gray hairs. It's just like all those other things that you know of seeing loved ones like get older that happen. And then when they start to happen, we freak out.
Mm.
And I've seen a few friends post about it and say things like, so many people aren't as lucky to get to that point in their life. And that I think I've been sitting with a little bit more lately. Like I've been sitting with the idea of, okay, yes, I am getting older and it is showing and I'm getting wrinkles and I've got gray hairs popping out, but that's because I'm getting older and I'm still alive and I'm living my life. And my smile lines are because I smile a lot. Like, is that really something to hate? And it's making me really sit with it and question it because I've definitely seen them as insecurities and I don't want to feel that way about them.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally. 100%. Mm. And I actually went out to my followers and asked for people to send in their thoughts on it. And it was really interesting. There were quite a few people that sent in that were either nurses or had people pass away that were young or worked in environments like in palliative care, for example, where people have passed. And one that I wanted to read out was, I remember hearing someone with a terminal illness talk about aging and it has always stuck with me. That aging is a gift and not promised to everyone. If getting wrinkles means you are still alive, how very lucky you are. There are people who wish so hard for the chance to grow wrinkles. Mm. And I think that's a really important point to acknowledge. I think on top of that, though, that was what was really interesting, and I think this has changed quite a bit, is the majority of messages that came through, every single message at the start started with, it is everyone's prerogative what they do with their body.
Yep.
And there is no judgment either way. And I think that is fantastic because I do think there has been a lot of judgment on what people do, especially women.
Yeah.
I think there's also a lot of pressure on, and this is where I'm super perplexed about this. So I have personally had Botox once in my life on my head. I have, when I focus a lot, like when I have a concentrating face, I get this like very strong line between my eyebrows. And for a very long time, I thought about this because obviously something that I have worked very hard on and I also talk really openly about is the fact that I the way that my body looks yep. does not equal my worth. It has nothing to do with it. But that does not mean that I do not take care in the way that I look. Like I wear makeup.
Yeah.
I sometimes color my hair.
Yeah.
There's things that I dress in, like I buy clothes that I like because I want to look a certain way, right? And I want to feel comfortable.
Mm.
And so that's where I find it quite jarring. And then I think too, like if I think of people coloring their hair, like technically if you color, like what is the difference between Botox, and obviously it's different in terms of like something's actually being injected into your face with Botox, but between Botox and coloring your gray hair, because that is still like hiding the effects of aging. So there's that. And then the other part of it is, and we spoke a lot about this. So I have had it once in my life. I had it, it was probably about 1 year ago. And I went back and forth in my head for probably 2 years about it. And I was asking myself, do I want to get this for me? Because this frown line bothers me and I would prefer not to have it, which is completely my prerogative and my choice. Or do I want to get this because everyone, like a lot of people around me have Botox and have no lines on their faces and also on social media. And so I feel pressure that I have to get it, otherwise I will look different to the majority of people. And Botox in Australia, so it's a billion-dollar industry. Last year in 2023 in Australia, $1 billion was actually spent on...
It's expensive.
Exactly right, on Botox and fillers. And it's growing every single year. So it is becoming more popular. But I am at this, and even now when I think of will I get it again, to be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I have no judgment on people that do get it.
No.
But I think, I do think the one time, and what we also wanted to talk about within this segment was preventative Botox. I was reading a lot about it. It's actually quite interesting. There are some people that say basically what preventative Botox is it's getting it before your wrinkles form so then you don't have the lines in your skin. Now, there's some people that say that there means it prevents the sign like aging and lines longer term, but then there's also a lot out there that says that your skin, I don't know this, if anyone finds this really interesting, get an expert on to talk about it, but basically something in the collagen of your skin, it starts getting used to that and then it stops producing as much collagen and then you actually get more lines and you need to sustain it long, like longer term. Something to acknowledge is Botox is fucking expensive, as you said.
It only lasts like 3-4 months.
Exactly. It's inaccessible for a lot of people. It also then means that people would maybe go to places that there are more regulations in Australia now, but it is very important to go somewhere where they're accredited to be able to do it, obviously, because it is risky, especially Botox is less risky than filler. Filler there, you actually can, for example, go blind from getting filler if it's put in the wrong spot of your face. So that's really important to acknowledge. But Botox is very, very expensive. And I think especially with preventative Botox, like I really struggled when I was in my early 20s and there were people that we knew. And again, there's no judgment on, on these people, but they were in the modeling industry. And I was just like, oh, no one would have had Botox. And I remember people saying to me, oh no, that person has, that person has, that person has. And I was like, what? Like we're 22 years old. Like I've never even thought about wrinkles before. Now I need to think about it. And this is also why we haven't spoken about this on the podcast before. And there's one of the main reasons about it, I think, is I'm really conscious with kind of changing your body. In no way do I think people should go out there and be like, I've never had Botox and like they have. And it's like, okay, no, because that's misleading. But I do, one part of me as well thinks that the more we normalize it and like say exactly what we, so obviously I just told you that I've had Botox in my forehead line, but I've also watched people on Instagram be like, this is exactly what I get to my face. And that's when they may be getting like multiple fillers and like all these different things that to be honest, I haven't heard of. And then sometimes I watch those videos and I'm like, I didn't even know that that could be a problem and it becomes an insecurity in me. And then I think I need to fix it. And I'm like, hold on, that's, I don't need to take what they're, like what they do on board. But I do, I don't know, I think too, sometimes the more airtime we give it, the more normal it becomes, which is, I don't know, I'm perplexed about it because I'm like, I don't want people to feel like they have to do this.
Yeah. I think what my problem with it is, and when people post about it and stuff like that, is there are so many young people online so many young people online who are so easily influenced. And when I think back to when we were in our early 20s, of course, I, being in the modeling industry, I definitely knew of people and I knew of people and TV and stuff like that. But when we were even younger than that, like call it 17 or whatever, we didn't have social media. Social media wasn't the same. It was like MySpace. So our idea of Botox and fillers and stuff like that, I mean, to be honest, my memory was like celebrities. And that was basically it. Like, I didn't really think anything of it other than maybe like my friend's mum who was like 50 and like did it, like whatever. That was that all
horrible,
I knew of it.
Remember that horrible, I think it was an English TV show. It might still be on where they
botched
where like stuff went wrong.
Where it went wrong. Exactly. That's my memories of it. Whereas now 16, 17 year old girls are on social media and they're looking at 18 year old girls who, or 19, 20, who are just in their everyday life, casually getting it done. And that's where I have an issue with it because, and it's not about lying to people. Because again, I don't care if you get it. It's more just like, in a way, you're kind of encouraging it in a way by showing it, by showing that you do it and talking about it as often as some do. I believe in a way you are encouraging it. And I just think there is probably enough pressure out there that they don't also need your encouragement for it as well. And like I 100%, I'll be honest as well. I've had it, I think 4 or 5 times. I got it once before my wedding to test if I liked it. Then I got it for my wedding and then I didn't get it for 2 years. And then I got it once again, randomly. And again, Botox lasts 3 to 4 months. So unless you're like wanting to kind of buckle in and continue to do it, like it's, for me, for my experience, it was kind of pointless, as in like I shouldn't have really done it. And I don't know if I will do it again because the more I'm sitting with like what matters to me and my values, it's making me realize that it doesn't necessarily make sense anymore to me to do it. And the first time I tried it, I was getting Botox in my underarms actually for, I've been doing that for years and years and years because I have a major, I'm a sweaty gal. And someone once told me that if you got Botox in your underarms, like you don't sweat. And I was like, fabulous. And this is when I was doing a lot of hosting gigs. I was in a lot of like nervous kind of situations. And I was so insecure about the amount that I sweated in my underarms. And so it was a personal choice for me to start getting in my underarms. And then it was a couple of years after that, that I got some in my forehead because I was insecure about my forehead lines. And it's just one of those things that like, I didn't think too much back then about it because my appearance was, I suppose, very important to me. And I won't lie, like you said, Laws, I still care. I still care what I look like. It's not my whole. It's not like the reason I'm on this earth and it's not where I place all of my value, but I do still care and I do still have insecurities. And so I just want to say like for anyone who does get work done or whatever and that makes them feel good and comfortable and they're doing it for themselves and not because society's told them they need to, like, it's fine. Go off. Like no, zero judgment whatsoever. I just want to make sure that people don't feel like they need to or they have to fit in and that there's anything at all wrong with lines or wrinkles or anything.
Because
there's nothing wrong with them. Nothing.
100%. 1,000,000%. And I think true on what you just said around your underarms, I was listening to Emma Chamberlain this year did a podcast with a injector. And also she's a skin therapist and does Botox and filler and things. And in that podcast, they spoke about people that get Botox for underarm sweat. And for some people, if you are going into an environment at work, like, for, like a man, for example, that needs to wear a shirt, if you sweat through, like she spoke about having clients that sweated through their shirt in 2 minutes, like that is, that is uncomfortable. That impacts your ability to, like at work, you're worried about it, you're thinking about it. And so there's also medical reasons people get Botox, like also around clenching
of your jaw, grinding your teeth.
Migraines as well. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons Botox is used for in a medical way, which
outside
I think
of just getting rid of your wrinkles.
What we're talking about today is on wrinkles. Just want to make that, acknowledge that is specifically around kind of wrinkles and, and changing your face. I think the other thing I wanted to touch on too was the rise of Facetune and filters. And that's what, and there's a lot of conversation online around the impact that that has had. And that's probably less to do with Botox. It's more to do with filler because Botox relaxes and temporarily, I can never say that word. Did I say that
right?
Temporarily paralyzes muscles. And it is also used, as we said, to treat medical conditions like chronic migraines, hyperhidrosis, which is the chronic sweating, and muscle tightening. Now, filler contains hyaluronic acid used to plump up lips and cheeks and fill in fine lines. Mm. It is also used to fill areas of the face that have been hollowed by the effects of HIV. So, again, there are reasons. There's so many reasons why people get these things. Filler is a higher, there's much higher risk with filler because with filler you're actually putting something in your face that stays there. And filler can last, it lasts way longer than Botox.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
And filler is, as I spoke about earlier, if a filler is put in the wrong spot, it has, like in Australia, I think there's been, it's not a lot. I think there's, it's less than, it, definitely under 50, but the number of people that have gone blind in the past 10 years based on filler not being put in correctly. Mm. But I think around Facetune, I think that has impacted people filler because there's these, and this is what kills me, is the filters that say like beautiful face or perfect girl or pretty girl. And it changes the way your face looks. And it is telling you by the name of that filter that this is how you should look.
This is how
if
you
are going to be perfect or pretty or whatever it might be. And that's where what I also think is extremely problematic.
Oh, totally agree. Totally agree. It's like when you see those episodes when people do go visit a surgeon. I've seen one. Actually, you know what? Taryn Brumfitt, in her documentary, she goes to see a surgeon pretending to be interested in getting work done just to see what they said. And they literally just draw all over her body and list all the things wrong with it. Like she's standing there. She hasn't even told them really like what she wants done. But they just like say all of these different things. So I'm sure, I mean, she's obviously very, she's come to a place where she's very comfortable in her body. But I'm sure also in the back of her mind, she's like, fuck, I didn't even, I was never insecure about that part of my body. That's what filters do. That's what filters do. Because you take the filter off and then suddenly you're seeing these wrinkles. You're seeing, I don't know, your eyebrows don't sit like they do in that filter or that your lips might not be as plump or your nose might not be as skinny. Like all those things that this filter does that tells us like this is perfect. As soon as it's off, all of those other things that you might not actually even be aware of are made so much more obvious. And that's where it's super, super damaging. And it's the same with getting work done. Unfortunately, sometimes you do it and then now you've got this like different self to compare it to. So for the likes of Botox, for example, and it fades and then your wrinkles are back, they're obvious to you again. Whereas if you just come to a point where, again, if you choose not to get work done and you can accept that that's how you look, then you'll get over it. Like you'll just move past it.
Mm.
But yeah, it is, it's a big one. And I just want to send love to anyone that's feeling really, I think, lost in this or feeling really pressured or even the other way around. Like if you're feeling judged for getting work done, like I'm really sorry because it is not on us. Our reasoning for wanting to get work done or not wanting, like it's not on us. It's been something that we've learned from society. You're not born as a toddler thinking, fuck, I don't want to get wrinkles. Like I don't want to age. Like that's not a fear that we have that we're born with. It's something that we learn. So you just do you, your body, your rules, and try not to judge others for whatever they choose to do as well.
Agree.
What is it time for special share?
Why do we always go weird when it comes to special shares? We always we record them at the end, guys. We record the episode in order, so I mean it's not live, but it's in order. And by the time we get to special shares, we always get really weird and like do like a new intro, and we're like, we've been talking for 40 minutes. Like, calm down. Why are we whispering? Anyway, Zevi, what is your special share?
Okay, my special share is something that you actually have recommended before, both to me in person and online. I can't remember if you've done it in a special share on the podcast.
Doesn't matter. So. But we already had this conversation before we started this segment. And Steph was like, oh, I think you've recommended this before. And I was like, honestly, no one remembers what I recommended 6 months ago. Like, and also, I feel like too, if it gets a double recommendation, I feel like that might be the reason people actually read it.
So true. Yeah. Okay. And it is it's a book. Yes. And it's by the wonderful Sally Hepworth.
Oh, the queen.
The queen.
We love Sally.
And it is called The Soulmate. And it is, I would say probably like 8/10 of the way through.
Oh,
like
you're I'm not almost finished. Finished. Yeah.
I'm going to finish it today though, because it's like one of those books that you can't put down.
How did you put it down?
I was forced to put it down.
Oh, because you had to go to bed.
Yes. Like my husband gets to a point where he's like, enough. Okay,
are
let's
you
go to
thinking
bed.
Thinking about the characters right now.
Yes. It's like insane. So this is one of those books, right? It flicks between. And the best thing about this book, can I say, is that the chapters are like 4 pages long.
Yes.
Like I just love that, because you know what it is? I think when you're reading a book with really, really long chapters, if you're not in a book reading mood, you can't, I personally have to shut a book on a new chapter. Mm. Otherwise I have to like go back and read. Yeah. I don't know. I have to end and start on a new chapter. And so when they're really long, it's like you kind of just like get through the slog. But when they're short, you get through the chapter and then you're like, you know what? I got another one in me.
And you feel more accomplished.
I got another one in me.
Authors listening, the more chapters you put in the book, the better we feel reading it, because we're like, yes, another chapter done. Oh, I feel good. Exactly. Go me.
And so the chapters kind of switch between two different characters and it's also like two different times. But don't let that confuse you, because I know sometimes when books do that and they go back and forth, you're like, fuck, where are we at? What's happening? It's very, very clear, and it sets a lot of I'll give away too much, but it sets a lot of background for everything that's happening in the now, and it is juicy, and there's like twists and turns that you don't expect, and it's really good.
Thank you, Steffi. I love that. I love that. And I feel like, guys, this is your sign. If you're like, oh, I don't want to read it, read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Mine is a movie. I love it. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Oh, I love, when you posted about this the other day, I was like, what a throwback.
What a throw. It's not even that old.
Isn't it?
It was set in 1950, but it was published in 2022.
Oh!
It's only 2 years old, yes.
Oh my God, that's
so that's
so
why
weird.
I wanted to bring it up, because it's a movie. Can I say, a lot of the new movies that have come out, I so rarely will be like, oh, I want to watch that again. I've got so many connections with, like, for example, Devil Wears Prada, Love Actually, like all of the classic movies that made Legally Blonde, that in my childhood or in my teens, whatever, early 20s, I looked forward to, I watched it, I had it on DVD, I watched it 100 times. These days, because there's so many options, I don't know if that's what it is, but I just don't feel as connected with movies. And when I rewatch them, I don't really rewatch many new movies. But Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris is one of the movies that just made me feel so good. And I feel like people might have overlooked it by the trailer, because the trailer doesn't make it look as good as it is.
Don't you hate that?
I do. And it's about this wonderful woman who loses her husband in the war, and she's a cleaner for all of these horrible rich people that treat her like shit. And she gets a payment from him dying from, I think, from the UK government, set in the UK. And then she goes to Paris to spend all of this money on a dress at the House of Dior. And this is when, to buy a Dior dress, you couldn't buy it online. It wasn't available anywhere. You had to go into the one couture shop and they made it to order. And it is just the most special movie. I love it. It makes me feel good. I reckon I've watched it like 10 times. Aww. And considering it came out in 2022.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So if you want a feel good movie.
Love that.
That's just going to make you happy and be like, oh, it's just really good. So I highly recommend. I believe it's on Netflix.
Thanks, Lawrence.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for bringing up Sally. Thank you for recording the episode, you know.
Oh, you know, you're more than welcome.
Thank you for showing up. Okay, thank you for being you.
Thanks.
Thank you for existing.
Thank you. And thank you to all the listeners. You know, we love you. We would love you to get involved in our KickPod Facebook group. It is growing. It's growing, because we keep mentioning it. So if you haven't known about it, now's the time. Now's the sign. Just search KickPod in Facebook. It's a closed Facebook group for all of our lovely listeners. And we talk about all things to do with the KickPod. And we'd love you to continue to share your suggestions on topics you want covered, or even just talking about certain things we've shared in the episodes.
I would love to hear everyone's thoughts on Botox and how you feel about it, and the pressure and everything. I would love. Well, producer Lindsay, can you put a post in the Facebook community about that? We'll make a thread. And then I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on this, because it is really layered and everyone has their own opinion, and they're all valued. So
all valued.
Thank you, guys. We love you. We'll be back in your ears on Wednesday with Megan Luscombe, who is a relationship expert.
Guys.
This episode is so good.
Yeah.
You do not want to miss it. We speak through
if you should. We went through quite a few.
I think it was three or four. And we tried to pick different ones.
That
very
you guys
ones.
Sent in.
Yeah.
Where you were in a relationship and you didn't know if you should end it or not. And Megan speaks through her thinking as a relationship expert on each situation. I got so much from it.
She's so amazing. Yeah.
It was so good, especially around values. You will love it. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
And have a wonderful day, night, wherever you're listening to this. We love you. Bye.